This is for informational purposes only. For medical advice or diagnosis, consult a professional. I want you to take a second and just look at your hands. We put them through a lot on a Saturday morning, don't we? Between the serrated edge of a piece of flashing and the sudden angry heat of a soldering iron, our hands are usually the first things in the line of fire. It is easy to get caught up in the rhythm of a project and forget that skin and bone are a lot softer than steel and wood. When that rhythm breaks and you see red or feel that sharp white-hot sting, the world tends to get very small and very quiet. I have been there more times than I care to admit, standing over a workbench and realizing that the job just changed from home improvement to self-preservation. Dealing with a cut or a burn while you are alone in a garage requires the same thing that a good plumbing job does, which is a calm head and the right tools for the seal. You might be thinking that a little scratch or a singe is just part of the tax we pay for doing our own work. But the way we handle those first 60 seconds determines whether we are back at it tomorrow or sitting in a waiting room for 3 hours. Understanding the difference between a nuisance and a real problem is the first skill any tradesman should master. A cut that pulses or a burn that turns charred and numb is a signal to put the tools down and call for professional help. But for the everyday nicks and contact burns that come with the territory, we can handle those right here at the bench. It is about stopping the clock on the injury before it gets a chance to settle in and cause trouble. I learned this lesson the hard way back when I was first starting out on my own. I was working on a copper pipe transition in a tight crawl space, hunched over with a propane torch in one hand and a spool of solder in the other. I was frustrated because the joint wouldn't take, and I reached out to steady myself against the frame. I didn't realize I had just spent 5 minutes heating up the very bracket I grabbed. I felt the heat before I felt the pain, a dry, searing sensation that seemed to go right through the palm of my hand. Instead of stopping, I hissed through my teeth and tried to finish the bead. By the time I crawled out of there 10 minutes later, that heat had kept cooking the tissue, and I ended up with a blister the size of a silver dollar that kept me from holding a hammer for 2 weeks. If I had just stopped, dropped the torch, and gotten cold water on it immediately, I would have saved myself a lot of grief. That taught me that the project can always wait, but your body cannot. Preparation for the unexpected starts long before you ever pick up a tool. I keep my first aid kit in the same spot on the wall, right next to the fire extinguisher. You should be able to find it with your eyes closed, because quite frankly, if you have something in your eye, or you are holding a rag to your arm, you might be navigating by touch anyway. Inside that kit, I don't just have those tiny plastic bandages that lose their stick the moment you start to sweat. I keep heavy-duty fabric strips, rolls of sterile gauze, and plenty of medical tape. I also keep a bottle of clean bottled water, specifically for flushing wounds. The water from the garden hose might be cold, but it isn't always the cleanest thing to be putting into an open vein. When we talk about a cut, the first sensation is usually a strange coldness followed by a dull throb. If you feel that, stop what you're doing immediately. The very first move is to apply pressure. I've seen guys try to wash a bleeding cut under a faucet right away, but all that does is wash away the clotting factors your body is trying to build. Take a clean piece of gauze or even a clean shop rag if that is all you have, and press down firmly. You want enough pressure that you can feel your own heartbeat against the wound. Hold it there for a full 5 minutes without peeking. I know the temptation is to lift the cloth and see if it stopped, but every time you do that, you tear away the tiny seal your blood is trying to form. Once the bleeding slows down to a trickle, we need to clean the site. This is where that bottled water comes in. I like to pour it over the wound with a bit of height to it, so the gravity helps wash out any grit metal shavings, or sawdust that might be hiding in there. You might see a bit of a sting here. A sharp, electric tingle. But that is just the nerves reacting to the change in temperature. Avoid using hydrogen peroxide or rubbing alcohol directly inside a deep cut if you can help it. Those things are great for cleaning the skin around the wound, but inside the cut, they can actually damage the healthy tissue that is trying to bridge the gap. Once it is clean, pat the surrounding skin dry with a fresh cloth. Apply a thin layer of antibiotic ointment to keep things moist, and wrap it snug. You want the bandage tight enough to stay put, but not so tight that your fingertips start to feel tingly or cold. Burns are a different animal entirely. They don't bleed, but they radiate. If you touch something hot, your skin continues to cook even after you pull away. The goal here is to stop the thermal transfer. You need cool, running water for at least 10 to 15 minutes. Not ice water, just cool tap water. People will tell you to put butter or grease on a burn because that is what their grandfather did. But I'm telling you now, all that does is trap the heat inside and fry the skin further. It's like putting a lid on a hot pan. You want that heat to escape. If the skin is just red and painful, that is a first-degree burn. And you can manage that with cool water and a loose cover. If you see blisters forming, those are your body's natural bandages. Whatever you do, do not pop them. That fluid inside is sterile and is protecting the raw skin underneath from infection. As we move through the execution of these fixes, you have to monitor the feedback your body is giving you. Success looks like a dulling of the pain and a return to normal color in the surrounding area. If you wrap a cut and the bandage is soaked through in minutes, that is a sign that the pressure isn't enough and you might need stitches. If a burn starts to feel exceptionally hot or you see red streaks moving away from the area, that is an infection trying to take hold. We aren't trying to be heroes here. We are trying to be smart. A good craftsman knows when a tool is broken beyond repair. And the same goes for your own health. When I am wrapping a wound, I always think about the tension. It is a lot like applying tape to a joint. If you pull it too tight, it bunches up and restricts flow. If it's too loose, it slides right off the moment you move. I use the tape to anchor the gauze on the healthy skin well away from the injury. This ensures that as I move my arm or hand during the day, the bandage moves with me, rather than rubbing against the sore spot. You'll know you've got it right when you can flex your hand and feel the support of the bandage without feeling restricted. Once you have the situation under control, take a moment to sit down. The adrenaline of an injury can make you feel shaky or lightheaded. And the last thing you want to do is trip over an extension cord while you are already hurt. Drink some water and let the heart rate come back down. I usually take this time to look at what I was doing when the accident happened. Was the blade dull? Was I rushing? Was I holding the workpiece in a way that put my hand in the path of the tool? Most injuries in the shop aren't random. They are the result of a specific sequence of choices. I'll tell you why I'm so particular about this. A small infection from a dirty splinter or a neglected burn can turn into a month-long ordeal. We do this work because we love the feeling of being capable and self-reliant. Part of that self-reliance is being your own first responder. When you can calmly clean a wound, dress it properly, and get back to a state of stability, you are proving that you are in control of your environment. You aren't just a guy with a hammer. You are a professional who respects the tools and the person using them. Clean up your workspace after an injury, too. If there is blood on a tool or the floor, clean it up with a bit of bleach and water once you are patched up. It's a matter of hygiene, but it's also a matter of mindset. You don't want to walk back into your shop and see a reminder of a bad moment. You want to walk back in and see a workspace that is ready for the next step. Every scar we carry has a story, and most of them are stories about learning to slow down. As you finish up, keep an eye on that bandage for the next 24 hours. If it stays dry and the pain turns into a minor itch, you are on the right track. That itch is actually a good sound, so to speak. It's the vibration of healing. It means the skin is pulling back together and the nerves are settling down. If you have to go back to work, put a glove over the bandage to keep the shop dust out of it. It might feel a bit bulky, but it's a small price to pay for keeping that wound clean. We put a lot of value on the things we build, the tables, the shelves, and the plumbing we fix. But none of those things matter if the person building them is falling apart. Taking care of your hands is just as important as oiling your saws or sharpening your chisels. It is all part of the same craft. You wouldn't leave a piece of machinery to rust, so don't leave yourself to deal with an injury without the proper care. You have the skills to build a house, so you certainly have the skills to maintain the one you live in, starting with your own skin and bone. Once the tape is down and the gauze is set, take a deep breath. You handled it. The panic is gone. The pain is managed, and you have a plan. That is the blue-collar way. We don't freak out when things go wrong. We just find a way to fix them. Whether it's a leaky pipe or a sliced finger, the process is the same. Assess, stabilize, and repair. You've done the hard part. Now give yourself a little time to mend before you pick that torch back up.